Welcome to God's Work in Progress. God cares about your job because He has created you to work, and He's asking you to work with Him in transforming the world. We want to help you bring the reality of Jesus in every way to the so-called real world, the place where you spend about 60% of your awake time every week. Your host, Jeff Pelletier, has business experience in business operations and people development. He adds to this his 10 years as an organizational consultant. Along with his business background, Jeff holds a seminary degree in Christian theology. Jeff's passion and the purpose of this program is to help do great work with great faith. Now, here's Jeff.
Do you live your life on purpose? I'm saddened by how many people I know who live their lives from day to day or moment to moment without meaningful intent. With a lack of meaningful intent, our lives are left to our own desires and whims and wants. And if you've lived a while, you know the pitfalls of a life that's lived this way. But the question is, does God want us to live this way, or is there a meaningful intent to our lives? The answer is, God has an intent and plan. The source for the idea of us having a meaningful life is Jesus. Jesus was called to the cross, and He has commissioned us to help Him save the world. But there is yet a bigger intent for His life, an intent for His life that is eternal. His sacrifice was one and done. His mission to save the world will have a conclusion at the end of this time we're in. But Jesus proclaimed in John's Gospel His eternal purpose and intent in the 10th chapter and the 10th verse of that Gospel when He said this, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they might have a full and satisfying life." So what is it that the thief comes to steal? It is your life, and He is very effective at what He does. But Jesus has come to offer a full and satisfying life, and it is an eternal life without end in this life and in the next. This is why Jesus came. It is His core intent. The full and satisfying life begins in this life. It is a type of life for now, but also for the age to come. This idea was popularized by Rick Warren in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life. His idea is that God creates us with specific intent and purpose, and that there is meaning to it every single day. Living this life has three components: calling, mission, and purpose. Your calling is something God gives you to do for Him. It can last a minute or a lifetime. A mission is something God asks you to build or achieve for Him. And your purpose is how you are hardwired to impact your calling and mission. Your purpose comes from who you are and how you are created. Here at God's Work in Progress, we're developing a cloud-based tool to help you identify this eternal, purposeful life. We'll be right back.
Jeff Pelletier will be back in just a moment, but first we want to remind you that we have articles, workplace tips, and much more media posted to our website, godsworkinprogress.org.
Our guest for this segment is Chuck Proudfit. Chuck is the president at Work on Purpose, and he's also caught God's vision for the marketplace as a frontier for God's kingdom. Chuck, welcome to God's Work in Progress.
Thank you.
So let's talk about At Work on Purpose. How did God call you into At Work on Purpose?
God called me into it with my frustration with work life in the way I was living it. I got out of school in 1987 and took a job in a consumer products company in Cincinnati, Ohio. And I quickly discovered that although the world was telling me that I kind of made it, I'd landed at a really great company, really great training ground, but I was miserable on the work I was doing. And I knew that the storyline that I'd grown up with, which was to go to school and get good grades, to get a good job and make lots of money and retire comfortably, wasn't going to motivate me through my career.
Why wasn't that going to make it for you?
Because it felt so empty. I was working on toilet paper at the time, and I was about to be promoted for a project where I was taking a sheet count reduction and then working with manufacturing plants to wind the rolls more loosely so that they would look as big as before the sheet count reduction. And it's not that that's illegal. I mean, it happens all the time, but it was less than inspiring.
I got it. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, just like, sure. Is this really what I want to spend the next four decades of my life doing?
Excellent question. Okay, now I understand. Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I needed to hear that. Great. So then calling towards At Work on Purpose.
Right. So the long and short of it is that my frustration with work life led me on a spiritual search. And so I actually started researching all of the world's religions and philosophies. And in my case, being a kind of analytical or investigative guy, I spent 10 years researching, being a spiritual seeker, and I came to Christ in November of 1996. So I was a 32-year-old young professional at the point that I become a Christ follower. I'm spending most of my waking hours at work, and I wanted to integrate my faith with my work, and I was stumped because I didn't see Christians doing that, and I didn't see local churches talking about that.
Why did you want to integrate your faith into your work? What was driving that for you?
It was really simple. If God's at the center of our lives and we're supposed to build our lives entirely around that relationship, then it's not just my life at home or my life on vacation or my life with my family that should be centered in Christ. It should also be my life at work. You know, we live in this myth that we're supposed to separate the sacred from the secular, but that is not theology. That's philosophy. I mean, the reality is that God calls us to be faith active in all of our lives, including our work.
That's correct. He does. I believe that many Christians know that in their head, but somehow it doesn't find its way into their heart.
I agree with you, and I think there are a lot of institutionalized reasons for that. You know, for example, you have to swim upstream to be faith active in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
I love your tagline, you know, the idea of great work and that it's great for God, it's great spiritually. But the reality is most Christians go to church on Sunday where there's, you know, inspired teaching and neat worship music and supportive small groups. And then that same Christian goes into work on Monday morning and we're spiritually isolated.
Absolutely true. Spiritually isolated is a fact. I was talking to somebody the other day. I said, bring God. Don't forget to bring God into your work. People are, for some reason, hesitant to do that. I don't really understand why. And I'm not talking about preaching or sharing your testimony. I'm just talking about praying at work, praying for work, asking God what you should do in a particular situation at work. And I find Christians are not, I don't know, something, some kind of a switch trips when they go to work and they think it's supposed to be all them.
I believe that there are at least three things going on, all of which work against faith at work. The first one is ignorance. And what I mean by that is that there are ministry moments in the marketplace all the time.
All the time.
But we don't necessarily see them.
Mm-hmm.
So they come to us and we pass them by. We just don't realize that, you know, just because somebody has cancer and they don't happen to be at our church doesn't mean that we couldn't do Meals on Wheels for them just like we do as a church ministry for people who attend our church. But we don't think that way. So we're often ignorant. We're oblivious to opportunities. The second thing is we're often intimidated. You know, we feel like we'll get in trouble with HR or we're going to break a policy or a procedure. And, you know, church is church, work is work. And there is pressure in the marketplace not to be faith expressive. And so you have to figure out how to do that strategically in a way that's permission-based. So there's ignorance, there's intimidation, and I also think we're ill-equipped. The hard truth is that, in general, the local church doesn't focus very much on the nitty-gritties of living out faith in the working world. And so most working Christians aren't sure where to start.
I agree with that. And if you really don't understand it, you want, you know, you naturally want to be hesitant to do it. So that makes sense to me. So what's the big idea behind At Work on Purpose?
What we really walk working Christians into is the idea of a calling over a career, that God created us for lives of purpose, including work on purpose, that God created us and predestined us with good works that we were to do. And as it says in Romans 8:28, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. So where we're coming from with that work on purpose is that our purpose in life at work isn't just to get a paycheck, it's to make a difference. It's to fulfill spiritual purpose at work. In the language of a Rick Warren, for example, at Saddleback Church, where he wrote The Purpose-Driven Life, right? So the idea of living a life on purpose, well, why wouldn't you have purpose-driven work? You know, the reality is that if we look at the Bible, if we look at biblical history, in the very beginning, God goes to work creating the universe, and then he puts us in the garden to work. He gives Adam a job before he gives him a wife.
That's
and
right.
We look through biblical history, and all of these major figures in history, the climactic moments that are captured in Scripture were happening when people were at work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Daniel in a lion's den, or Joseph dealing with the famine in Egypt, or Esther as a first lady trying to save the Jewish people. But these people were all at work. Somehow, we have disconnected that reality from our theology.
Well, I think it used to be that God was more present in commerce and enterprise in America, maybe, say, 50, 60 years ago. And in the age of political correctness, it's become marginalized, and we've become almost a post-Christian nation. It's something that we have to struggle with because we have a public faith. Our faith is a public faith. It's not something, you know, we're supposed to go to all the world. So we don't really have a choice in the matter as Christians. So the question is for us, how do we do it? So let's talk about how you help people to do it. So what is your approach with individuals in helping them to live out their faith?
We focus people on a tool we use called return on involvement. So in the marketplace, you often talk about ROI, which is meant as return on investment. But in Matthew 6, it talks about storing up our treasures in heaven, mm-hmm. not on earth.
Yes.
So what we do is we bring people to Luke chapter 10, where Jesus was sending out his disciples, the mm-hmm. 70 or 72, depending on the translation, in
yes.
teams of two
yes.
to go to surrounding towns and villages and share the good news. And in Luke chapter 10, he lays out a process by which we are to engage the world.
Mm-hmm.
So those disciples were at work.
Mm-hmm.
They were going out to these places, and they were encountering a lot of those people at work.
Mm-hmm.
And they were told by Jesus to go through a process. First, to say hello to them. If they are friendly to you, then, you know, get to know them. Don't go bouncing around everywhere, but really build into those relationships. And mm-hmm. then heal the sick. In other words, minister to issues that people are having. And then tell them the kingdom of God has come near. And what is really happening in that scripture is that Jesus is laying out four steps: to bless with a warm connection or greeting, to fellowship with those people of peace that open themselves up to you, to minister to their felt needs, and then to proclaim Christ as the reason for our motivation. So what we do inside of At Work on Purpose is to teach our working Christians to live out that process with their sphere of influence. Our congregation is made up of stakeholder groups. So, for example, when I'm leading the consulting firm that I have called SkillSource,
yes.
I have employees and clients, suppliers, contractors, competitors, regulators. These are all groups that I can be blessing and ministering to and proclaiming Christ to. And so if you can imagine at the end of the day that you had a grid where the columns were all these stakeholder groups and the rows were what I just described
mm-hmm.
as prayer evangelism, to bless, fellowship, minister, and proclaim, what would it look like to have an intentional strategy to engage the people you know at work? That's what we call return on involvement.
That's amazing, and that's really great, and I hope our listeners check you out on your website to learn more about that. I was going to say that we will have a bio and link to your website on our site so people can find you there. But I know atworkonpurpose.org is your site, right?
Yes, it is, and there is a description of return on involvement on the site.
Well, I love it, and I think, you know, Luke chapter 10, everybody can go there and read it and see the model that you're talking about, and it makes perfect sense that Jesus tells us to go, and that's an example of him sending. And he gives them a template on what to do and how to do it. Atworkonpurpose.org is the website, and we now consider you a friend of our show.
And I just pray a blessing on your ministry. Thank you for this opportunity.
God's Work in Progress is made possible because of listeners like you. Please go to our website to support us at godsworkinprogress.org.
Let me introduce you to my friend Jim Harper. Allstate agent Jim Harper faithfully serves people in Minnesota, Iowa, and Wisconsin with all kinds of local insurance advice. Jim is someone you can count on to help you protect all that's good in your life. Jim Harper makes it easy to save on the quality protection you need. He'll even help you fill out the paperwork in order to switch your coverage. You're in good hands with Allstate agent Jim Harper. To learn more, click About Us, then the Foundation Radio Partner page on our website. Chuck Proudfit returns as our guest for this segment. Chuck is the president of At Work on Purpose, a nonprofit dedicated to mobilizing the work world for Christ. And he's also the president for the for-profit SkillSource, where they build sustainable growth in sales, profits, and people for client organizations. He's also caught God's vision for the marketplace as a frontier for God's kingdom. Chuck's here today to talk about his new book, Business Tree, Transforming Lives Through Enterprise. So, Chuck, when God got a hold of you, what was it that connected your belief in him to your everyday work?
The interesting thing in my story is that God got a hold of me through my work, and now he got a hold of me to bring faith into work. So, as a recent graduate from a business program, I had taken a position in consumer products and general management. Mm-hmm. And I found the work, for me, unfulfilling. Mm-hmm. And yet, I didn't know why, and I didn't know what to replace it with. I'd kind of been living that storyline, you know, that you go to school and get good grades and you can get a good job and make lots of money. And mm-hmm. I was doing that, and I was miserable, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And so that frustration triggered for me a spiritual search. And I spent a decade studying world religions and philosophies and came to Christ 10 years later in November of 1996 at age 32. I'm coming to Christ as a young professional.
Mm-hmm.
I'm spending most of my waking hours at work, but I'm discovering that the local church doesn't deal much with work life. So the ministries of the local church then, but also today, primarily deal with the stuff in our lives before 9 a.m. and after 5 p.m.
Yeah, they do.
You know, like marriage ministry, mm-hmm. recovery ministry, mm-hmm. that kind of thing.
Yep.
And those are all good ministries, but mm-hmm. the reality is that this work-life window is enormous, mm-hmm. and the local church at large doesn't deal much with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so surprising to me, because in those 10 years that I was studying world religions, when I was studying Christianity, I was studying the early church.
Mm.
So I'm reading the New Testament, I'm reading the book of Acts, and I'm seeing that the apostles came from the marketplace.
Yes.
That the marketplace is their central staging area.
Mm-hmm.
That God was moving powerfully through the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, in the book of Acts, it's called that because of the supernatural acts of God that are recorded in that book. And of the 40 supernatural acts, 39 of them take place in the marketplace.
In the marketplace, yeah.
So I'm looking at that and then comparing it to churches yeah. we do it today.
Yeah.
And I was stunned at the difference. That's what really led me or called me into the space of faith at work. And that's what led me to launch At Work on Purpose as a ministry to guide the everyday working Christian in integrating faith at work.
So you personally observed firsthand the great, what you call the great divide in the book. So believers have answered that call, and they know all about the great divide, as you do and I do and others do. But many other believers don't see it yet. What's the deal? What do you think is holding believers back from seeing? They're just kind of accepting the divide. They're not questioning it.
Yeah, that's such a great point. And, of course, the divide of which we speak is the sacred-secular
mm-hmm.
divide.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not theology, it's philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
It's from Plato. It's sometimes called Platonism, but it's the idea that the sacred things of the world are of ultimate reality and relevance and transcendent, and the everyday things are just things. And so Pastor Pete has lots to say about the spiritual reality of life, but Janitor Joe has nothing of spiritual significance to add
mm-hmm.
in his work or with the people around him at work,
mm-hmm.
and that's a lie from the pit of hell. The tragedy, though, is that over the centuries, the Christian church has absorbed that philosophy into our theology. And one of the original marking points was at the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD, when the Roman Emperor Constantine adopted Christianity as the official religion of the state. And as part of that, chose in those early days to make a distinction between the clergy and the laity. The job of the clergy was to study things spiritually. The job of the laity was to fund the work of the clergy.
Yeah.
And so as the centuries passed, this divide became more and more pronounced. And although during the Protestant Reformation, there was a period of focus on the idea that work life was important to God and we needed to bring our faith into our work, the hard reality is that right now, we're actually drifting further and further away from that. So in the United States, for example, we talk about the secular work world, right?
Mm-hmm.
So work is secular
mm-hmm.
and church is sacred.
Mm-hmm.
So we go to church on Sunday and work on Monday. And that is simply our contemporary expression of this great divide. But the biblical truth is that anything that isn't sinful is sacred.
Mm-hmm.
Work is worship. And therefore, there is no secular. And the reason that I think most Christians don't understand that is because it's so woven into the fabric of the local church,
mm-hmm.
not just the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this wall between faith at work has been built on both sides. So, for example, yesterday I was doing some consulting work to help a local church staff. There's a very strong emphasis on work as a sacred endeavor in all of life, and our lives is an expression of worship. So the pastor will preach from the pulpit. You know, anything that isn't sinful is sacred. There is no secular.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the children, one of the pastors in the church, had been visiting another church this last weekend, and he counted the number of times that the pastor was talking about the secular world and contrasting it with their spiritual environment at this other local church.
Mm-hmm.
And it was 18 times in one sermon
wow.
that this pastor was preaching about secular. And so my point is, we are actually, through the church, we are reinforcing the idea of secularism at the very time we should be demolishing it.
So I see the secular world anyway as a counterfeit. It's a cheap copy, or it's an attempting to be a cheap copy, mostly through humanism, secular humanism. That's the better way, or that's the way, or that's what you have to do. Something else that you pointed out I think is very important is about the clergy. Many clergy, not all, but many, they almost see it as a necessary evil, or profit as a necessary evil. They have a very low view, almost an evil view, of business and making money. I think that's a mountain we need to climb and overcome with, as you say, clergy.
that is such a huge point. You know, when I studied world religions, one of them was Hinduism. Mm-hmm. And in Hinduism, there's what's called a caste system. So you have castes that are better regarded and others that are considered very lowly. My point is, without realizing it, we've almost created a caste system
Yes.
inside of our Christian community. Mm-hmm. So if you're really spiritual, you know, you go all out to the mission field.
Yes.
Like Africa, or
Yes.
you become a pastor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe a lower caste underneath that is, well, at least I went to a Christian college and I try to be a good person. And then there's sort of everybody else. And our job is to fund the work of the ministry. And it's almost implicit that there is no ministry in what we do,
mm-hmm.
but rather that we simply fund what is considered ministry. And
yes.
again, these are lies from the pit of hell, but we live out these tiers of Christianity or what we perceive as Christian commitment. And the tragedy is we're not even conscious mm-hmm. of the fact that we carry these beliefs forward. We just have absorbed them in our Christian culture, and so we live them out in our world.
So Chuck, let's talk about Businesstry, the book Businesstry. So what is Businesstry?
In the simplest terms, Businesstry is business plus ministry.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When we first started out with this, the term was coined because I was gathering a team of people to help me launch At Work on Purpose as mm-hmm. a ministry to working Christians. And I told the team, I said, you know, I know that most ministries get all their funding by going out there and doing capital campaigns and donor banquets and stuff like that. And I said, it doesn't feel right to me. If we're a marketplace ministry, we should have economic engines. We should have some way to fund what we do that isn't just donations.
Right.
So I said, I want to take the profit dollars from the consulting firm that I lead, which is called SkillSource, and SkillSource will be the business, and it'll fund ministry work that At Work on Purpose is doing. And we all laughed. I said, I'm going to call it Businesstry. Now, what emerged out of that, though, was a much more holistic concept that today is a Businesstry as a self-sustaining enterprise that is commissioned mm-hmm. for a kingdom purpose.
Wow.
That operates according to biblical principles, that integrates ministry at every level and releases a sustained flow of funds for further ministry advancement. And so inside that are five core ideas. First, commission, that this is a business enterprise that belongs to God and is stewarded by us. Mm-hmm. Second, it has a purpose in the marketplace that is really in whatever fashion to advance God's kingdom. It is operating according to biblical principles, so it's upholding God's standards of conduct, you know, instead of what the world typically does. It's integrating ministry in its operation, so it's viewing its very work as a ministry. And from the profits it generates, it is releasing those to fund further ministry. So it's literally an enterprise that is actualizing faith at work on five levels.
It's awesome. I love every single one of those levels, and they're really not levels. I look at them as components of it. They're all essential components, every single one of them.
Yes.
And the idea of it being propagating is really cool because it's not just about this particular enterprise. It's the then taking that flow of funds and furthering this idea of more and more. I mean, a person could create company after company after company and also improve economic conditions, right? Which is something we don't, you know,
yeah.
we don't even think about that in the body of Christ, right? We could improve economic conditions and people's lives and innovate society and improve life. There's so many things that come out of this that are great.
I love what you're saying there. And, you know, the reality is, in our case here in Cincinnati, we have a whole Businesstry community.
Mm.
So we have a large set of what I'll call Christ-centered social entrepreneurs. A practical example of what you're saying is a thrift store chain that we have here called New to You.
Hmm.
And the profit dollars generated from that thrift store are funneled into orphan care. So the idea is that, you know, the manager of the thrift store may come and go, the staff come and go, the customers come and go, but the profit dollars will always go to the sustained funding of orphans. And so our funding is designed to come alongside these orphans all the way through college, so that we're setting them up for success in life.
Well, Chuck, it's been a real pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you so much. It is a privilege and a blessing to be able to be part of this radio program and to be part of the ministry work that you guys are doing. I appreciate you. Hope you guys have a great week.
Thank you, Chuck. Buy It Forward is a new way to give. It is a marketplace answer to funding ministry. Here at God's Work in Progress, we serve the marketplace. We help you do great work with great faith because those two together are the power of the gospel to change the world. Buy It Forward helps God's Work in Progress to grow and serve more people like you. Here's how Buy It Forward works. You have stuff that you thought of selling, stuff that people need. You also listen to our program and have thought about helping God's Work in Progress financially. Well, now you can. Donate it. It sells. You help us. Donate it. It sells. You help us grow. Go to godsworkinprogress.org. Click on the Buy It Forward button at the top right of the page. Click Donate It. It sells. You help us. It's a marketplace answer that helps you help us and help more and more people do great work with great faith. You get a tax deduction, someone gets something they need, and God's Work in Progress grows to reach more and more people because of you. Donate it. It sells. You help us. Buy It Forward. Please go to God's Work in Progress right now. Click on the Buy It Forward button at the top. Thank you.
You're listening to God's Work in Progress with Jeff Pelletier. Here's Jeff with a practical workplace tip.
This week our tip is about developing great faith. Start slowly. Begin each day as you rise up out of bed with, "Good morning, Lord. Thanks for another day, for breath in my lungs, for a job, for my friends and family, for your son." Notice the trend? Start slowly. Begin with God and with thanking Him. Seek first the kingdom. When you begin your day slowly, thanking God, you put God in view. You stand a much better chance of doing His will His way. Give it a try. Keep me posted. Let me pray for you. Father, help us to begin each day slowly the way Jesus did. Help us to greet you and thank you at the beginning of each day. Slow us down, Lord. Call to us as we rise each day. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done right here on earth, especially as we begin our workday. In Jesus' name, amen.
For contact information, please check out our website at godsworkinprogress.org. Every week, Jeff will be joined by leaders from the marketplace who will be bringing us topics on how we can excel at doing great work with great faith. Our hope is that you will become a regular listener to the program and share with us ideas, stories, and people you might know who are doing great work with great faith. To contact Jeff Pelletier, please go to our website at godsworkinprogress.org. We also want to give you the opportunity to become a financial supporter of this radio program. Our hope is that we can make a difference in the lives of people as they go to work every day, knowing they have purpose and meaning in what they do. Please consider becoming a monthly financial partner with us, and all gifts are tax deductible. We hope you'll join us again next week for God's Work in Progress.